Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krops.
So whatever happened to give me liberty or give me death? Well, guess what? Some people are starting to say that. We're going to talk about that today because it all relates to what we talked about yesterday. Why is Oregon still in a lockdown if the actual data from the state shows what? Shows that hospitalization has been declining. There's a lot being written about that today. In fact, there's a great Breitbart story about this that really relates to a lot of all of what we talked about yesterday is now being talked about more broadly across the country, including people standing against the infringement of their constitutional rights. In Idaho, there is a story. This is, it relates to how I opened the show. Give me liberty or give me death. Ammon Bundy has been in Idaho. Of course, the story has to focus on his arm to take over the Malheur Refuge. And he's urging people to resist, but he's not alone. And he's not alone here in Oregon, because there are people who think that it is time for us to stand up and say, wait a minute, things aren't nearly as bad as everybody predicted they would be. So don't infringe on my rights anymore. The sheeple are about to speak. Do you think that's a good idea? Do you think it's a bad idea? What's your opinion? 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line, 503-589-1220. Send me an email to jeff@1220.am. I want to get into this because it's a fascinating article. Ammon Bundy says, I want the virus now. What? Now, we've talked about this before, right? The people holding virus parties and getting infected. There's a Drudge Report, they have a headline about there are people getting reinfected. Okay, so do you develop the antibodies if you have it once? Can you never get it again? Can you get the flu again, the same flu you got? Have you ever gotten the flu twice in 1 year, by the way? Of course you have. Most of us have. You can get reinfected with this stuff. Now, out of all of this, what do you think the outcome of it is going to be? Are we going to have a loss of our liberty? Are we going to accept what is really unconstitutional actions? The prohibition against free assembly, which is in our U.S. Constitution, folks. In fact, it's in most of our state constitutions. Or are we going to allow ourselves, or are we going to rather stand and say, no, you're infringing on my constitutional rights based on what? Not actual data, but a flawed model, like we talked about yesterday. There's a lot about this today. We'll get into it as we go. Also, the arrogance some of the cartoonists out there, you know, cartoons, you know, we like them because they often embody our impressions, right, of what's going on in our lives, what's going on in the world. Now, this show is dedicated to politics with a cup of coffee. So we talk about the things early in the morning because they impact your life. And that's why I asked the question. Are we willing to accept the loss of our constitutional rights based on what? Based on hype and fear driven by media, driven by flawed computer models that come out of universities that are run by a bunch of Marxist rebels, liberals? Or like this one doctor in Idaho who sounds like a Marxist himself, Why? Because there are actually some people in the Idaho legislature and a sheriff saying, you know what, Mr. Governor, your stay-at-home order is unconstitutional. You need to convene a special session of the legislature to talk about it. This doctor thinks that's horrible. And he thinks these people ought to lose their right to have a ventilator if they get the virus. Now, that sounds like a doctor who's absolutely fulfilling his Hippocratic oath, right? Well, the cartoonists, they have a bent also. They have a Marxist agenda. In fact, on the Oregon Catalyst today, you can go check this out. There are three errors in this cartoon that they highlight. Now, this is a cartoon that was reprinted in the Oregonian. Okay? And it has, well, it is just a slam against you and I, normal folks like us, who believe in our liberty, who believe in the greatness of America, who believe that America ought to be first. It's a great cartoon. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the coronavirus hospitalization not being what everybody said it was going to be. The headline of the Breitbart story today, U.S. coronavirus hospitalizations lower than predicted. New York marks a 75% drop. Now, this is what we talked about yesterday. Modeling versus actual hospitalizations. Because I want you to think about this. Isn't that what matters? A lot of people have gotten the coronavirus that don't even know that they've gotten it. And a lot of people who have gotten the coronavirus didn't need to go to a hospital. Look at the data. New York has something like 135,000 cases. Heck, we have 1,200 cases in Oregon. How many people are in the hospital in Oregon? Very few. How many people are in the hospital in New York, the epicenter of this thing? Very few compared to the people who've tested positive for it. Not everybody has to go to ICU. Not everybody has to go to the hospital. Why? Because their body's dealing with it. So I go back to this central theme because this is important for us. And it's important for you and this to be able to have discussions with other people in your circle of influence. Now, I don't care whether you're still going to work or you're still practicing social distancing. You're going to have conversations with people in some form, email, phone calls, whatever. You're going to get into conversations about this. So shouldn't we ask that question? Isn't this a good question up for debate? Or should we be afraid to raise the specter of overreach by government over our constitutional rights? Is it time we had that discussion? What do you think? 503-589-1220. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GNC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Now, in the midst of this, this is a serious thing, right? We should have these questions. We should have these conversations. You should be able to articulate them to others, especially those that are the persuadable. It's what this show is dedicated to, is to giving you thoughts and taking your thoughts and sharing them with others, which is why I want you to participate in the show, so that people, we, those of us who believe in our liberty, our inalienable rights, which is that foundation which has made the acknowledgement of that, friends, is the foundation that makes America the greatest nation on the face of the earth. Giving you those things to influence others in your world is profound. As I've said so many times, and it is so true, each and every one of you are the greatest influencers you will ever know. Now, I've got a great email because I want to put, even though this is deadly serious, and it is, I also want to put a little humor to this. It's not a bad thing. It's not a sin. Because we're not making light of the seriousness of this. We're not making light of how it's impacted people's lives. That's not the point. The point is that an awful lot of people are stuck at home because they have either chosen to obey or they have to work from home or whatever. Maybe your kids are at home. Obviously, we've stopped schooling for a while. So I want to have a little bit of fun with that. Before I do that, one of the things I want to remind you is, you know, one of the ways you can boost your immune system, like I have been doing and am doing, one of the ways that you can help your body deal with all kinds of ailments, especially pain, but certainly in sleep, use CBD. And use the CBD from probioscience.com, pro-bioscience.com. The owners of this great radio station put together this company to use Oregon-grown CBD from right here in the Mid-Valley, processed right here in the Mid-Valley, blended, put together, and sold right here in Oregon. They've done this so that you and I, all of us, can have affordable, and it is affordable, CBD that can be a blessing in our life, including to your pets, by the way. Now, they have this great hand sanitizer. You can't hardly find it anywhere, right? Has CBD in it. This is good for you. And I encourage you to go to pro-bioscience.com. Use the discount code SPRING. That's specific to this show. Use the discount code SPRING. You get a 15% discount. Pro-bioscience.com. So if you're in this, by the way, from Avis. Thank you, Avis. Your self-quarantine diary. Day number one. I can do this. Got enough food and wine to last a month. Day number two. Opening my eighth bottle of wine. I fear wine supplies might not last. Day three. Strawberries. Some have 210 seeds. Some have 235 seeds. Who knew? Boy, that's boring, right? Day four. 8 p.m., removed my day pajamas, put on my night pajamas. Day five, tried to make hand sanitizer. It came out as Jell-O shots. Day six, I get to take out the garbage. I'm so excited I can't decide what to wear. Day seven, laughing way too much at my own jokes. Day eight, went to a new restaurant called The Kitchen. You have to gather all the ingredients and make your own meal. I don't know how this place is still in business. Day nine, I put liquor bottles in every room. Tonight, I'm getting all dressed up and going bar hopping. Day 10, struck up a conversation with a spider today. He seems like a nice guy. He's a web designer. Ka-ching! Day 11, isolation is hard. I swear my refrigerator just said, what the heck do you want now? Day 12, I realized why dogs get so excited about something moving outside, going for walks or car rides. I think I just barked at a squirrel. Day 13, if you keep a glass of wine in each hand, you can't accidentally touch your face. Day 14, watch the birds fight over a worm. The Cardinals lead the Blue Jays 3-1. Day 15, anybody else feel like they've cooked dinner about 395 times this month? Is that you yet? Thank you, Avis. That's from someone's self-isolation quarantine diary. Back in a moment, friends.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
22 minutes past the top of the hour. And of course, as predicted, the politicians are taking credit for the drop in these hospitalization cases when the facts belie the truth. The facts are that it wasn't social distancing that made the difference here, folks. Because as the story pointed out yesterday, at least in Oregon, and certainly is true in these other states, including New York State, In fact, right now, I'm watching Fox Business on the TV, flattening the curve. And they are suggesting, just outright saying, that it's, well, the social distancing has been working. Folks, it was working long before they even started social distancing. That's what we talked about yesterday. Before Kate Brown's order shutting us all down, our lockdown, locking down our economy unnecessarily, guess what? It was already declining. That's the actual evidence from the state of Oregon, not from the reported cases, but from the actual hospitalizations. Now, if you're going to get, this is my logic, tell me if I'm wrong. Whether it's the flu, coronavirus, the swine flu, H1N1, whatever, Ebola, what matters is how sick it makes you. Because isn't that what this is all based on? It's based on fear, is it not? This is why we accept the infringements of our constitutional God-given rights, folks. Now, if the fear is being driven by the hype of the media and by our political leaders based on faulty computer models, how does this play out in the future? Isn't it about time that someone filed a lawsuit? Now, maybe some of you can help me out here because I haven't found it. I haven't seen any lawsuits, not yet, brought by people who have the courage to stand up and say, no, this is wrong. This is an infringement on our constitutional rights. Do you think someone should? Is there a positive that can come out of this? I mean, I can think of a lot of positives, to be quite honest with you. But losing your liberty, your constitutional rights, is not one of them. Not in my book. Give me liberty or give me death. Eric Azer is a great local contractor. He can come into your home and he can remodel your kitchen. You know, unlike Washington State, they haven't stopped that kind of activity under the governor's executive order here in Oregon. So you know what? He can come work on your home. He and his crew can come in and, well, they can remodel your kitchen. You can do it safely. They can practice social distancing between you and your family. All of that can happen. RighteousRenovations.com. He's a guy who's not afraid to put his personal faith in Jesus Christ on the line with his name. And don't take my word for it. Go to his website. Go check it out. RighteousRenovations.com. Go check out the satisfied customers. Eric Azer, RighteousRenovations.com. Now, the story here in Breitbart goes right along with what we were talking about yesterday. And it starts off by saying the number of hospitalized people across the United States as a result of the coronavirus is reportedly only a fraction of what some health experts projected a few days ago. That's what we talked about yesterday. Andrew Cuomo told reporters in his home state alone that the epicenter, which is the epicenter of this thing in the United States, that new coronavirus hospitalizations dropped by 75%. From 1,427 4 days ago to 358 on Sunday. Highlighting the drop in new hospitalizations in New York, 131,000 cases, 4,758 deaths. Alex Berenson, former New York Times reporter, who's been following this outbreak closely, observed on Twitter on Monday, "It's over, guys. It's already over." Then they have a screenshot of it, and it shows the dramatic decline. Jim Malatras, an aide for Governor Cuomo, reportedly indicated that projections are now showing that New York is unlikely to need the 110,000 hospital beds it previously thought it needed. The new forecasts show a much lower demand. He's quoted as saying, that stands in the estimated 20 to 30,000 range. Okay. So how did this happen? Well, the story goes on to talk about the infamous University of Washington model, IHME, which was referred to yesterday in the president's news conference. And by the way, I got to listen to that. You know how I got to listen to it? I was bouncing across the field spreading fertilizer on the annual ryegrass fields, and I was listening to it. Isn't technology wonderful? Here's what the Epic Times, by the way, if you haven't read the Epic Times, you oughta. This is great conservative news reporting. The Epic Times. Here's what they said from Sunday. While tens of thousands are hospitalized across the United States due to COVID-19, the numbers are a fraction of what experts predicted just a few days ago. Listen to this. The main reason appears to be that the IHME, University of Washington, projections were already off the day they were released. Now stop for a second and think about that. All of these politicians are infringing on your constitutional rights based on a flawed computer model that was off the day it was released. Goes back to yesterday's piece by Professor Hinckley entitled, "Why is Oregon still on a lockdown? Why would Kate Brown give away 140 ventilators if she was afraid that these projections were going to come true? Because she knew they aren't coming true. And her own data, as we talked about yesterday, prove it. So why are we still on lockdown? Why are we still willing to accept loss of our constitutional rights? Shouldn't we do something about it? What do you think? 6:30 in the morning. Back in a moment. Come on and sing my song.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It's 22 minutes, or 24 minutes rather, till the top of the hour. Great to have you with us. If you just joined us, here's what we're talking about. How much of your liberty are you willing to give up? How much of it are you willing to accept as okay based on what? Irrational fear, the hype over how bad the coronavirus is going to be that you hear from the news media and from our government officials? You trust that information? Especially when you learn that it's all based on not real hospitalizations, as Professor Hinckley's piece that we talked about yesterday points out, backed up by actual figures from the Oregon Health Authority and OHSU. No. But based on the University of Washington's computer modeling. Garbage in, garbage out, right? Well, guess what? Guess where they're getting the underlying data in the University of Washington computer model? I'll tell you in just a moment. Sorry, I couldn't resist teasing you like that. It's one of the things we do in radio to keep you listening, folks. I need to give away the secrets. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. One of the ways you can keep your home safe from all this kind of garbage, from real stuff like flu and from bacteria and other things, is put in place one of those great UV light filtration systems. UV light kills this stuff, folks. Seriously, it does. Which is a great reason for you to talk to a business It's been here in the Salem area for 40 years. Freedom Heating and Air. Check them out on the internet, freedomheatingandair.net. They have special discounts, by the way, for veterans, senior citizens. You can help business owners, too. One of these days, our businesses are going to be back open. And hopefully not far from now, not long from now. Check out Freedom Heating and Air. Maybe if you're a business owner, you ought to think about doing this. One of the ways to reassure your customers, right? Freedom Heating and Air, freedomheatingandair.net. So listen to this. The IHME model. This is the flawed computer model that everybody's been using, including the Trump administration, to try to predict how this thing's going to play out. It comes from one place, the University of Washington. Now, there needs to be an investigation here because this is driving the destruction of our economy, folks. A computer model. I quote from the Breitbart story. That means that the number of hospitalizations across the United States earlier this month was much less, at most, about 40% of the forecasted figure than what the number that was predicted by the IHME model. 40% at most. They continue. Amid the ongoing pandemic, health officials are relying on computer modeling that makes known data that takes, rather, known data and makes predictions to inform and drive the decisions of private businesses and governments across the world. Now, here's what I teased you about. Statistical models attempting to predict the impact of the Chinese coronavirus, including the ones created by IHME, rely at least in part on polluted data from the Chinese Communist Party. Breitbart News confirmed last Friday, and they give you the link to that confirmation. A growing number of experts, the story writes, including Vice President Mike Pence and members of the White House Coronavirus Task Force that he leads, have questioned the legitimacy of China's official coronavirus death toll and infection rates. Anonymous members of the U.S. intelligence community allegedly agree, and they have that link, that China has been hiding the severity of the viral outbreak within its borders and underreporting both total cases and fatalities linked to the disease, Bloomberg reported this week. They also have a link to that story. Now, here's the kicker. The IHME, University of Washington model, predictions for New York also reflected a discrepancy between the Institute's forecast and the actual number of hospitalizations. Now, IHME predicted that New York would need 41,000 to 58,000 hospital beds for COVID-19 patients by April 1st. Even by April 3rd, New York needed less than 16,000 hospital beds. The IHME model only got its hospitalizations forecast right for one single state, Missouri. Now, let's take this into context then with the story from the Drudge Report. And this is from some outlet, DNYUZ, which I've never heard of before. But anyway, here's the headline. A liberty rebellion in Idaho threatens to undermine coronavirus orders. And, of course, the first sentence is about Ammon Bundy, who once led the armed takeover of the Oregon Wildlife Refuge. The meeting inside an old factory building north of Boise, a few dozen people gathered last week to hear Ammon Bundy. And it appears to have violated the orders of Governor Brad Little. To avoid group gatherings, and that was an assertion of what Mr. Bundy was saying about our constitutional right to peaceably assemble. So, how much are we willing to give up, folks? And based on what? fear. Driven by who? Media with an agenda. Liberal college professors with an agenda. Based on what? Flawed computer models. We'll start to the phones. We'll just, folks, I appreciate you calling, believe me, very much. So we'll start first with Art. Art, good morning. What do you say?
Good morning, Jeff. Here's what I say. Today, Chariot's bus system is back up and running. They're instituting appropriate things to avoid, you know, people to get too close together.
How are they doing that?
Well, they're going to limit the seating capacity of the bus. And so that's how they're doing it. But, okay, the mail distribution center up in Portland, they had somebody that had the virus. They're still up and running. Now, they say it's essential, but in my opinion, Jeff, every business is essential in this country to have what we have. And therefore, we should make adjustments, but we should allow people to choose whether they want to go to the gym. Okay, maybe they should wear a mask. Maybe they ought to make damn sure they wash their hands in case somebody sneezes and don't touch their eyes. But they should have the choice to do that. Yeah, I cannot imagine, but I'll bet you it's true, okay, that the people who have died from the flu in this country contracted it somewhere like a gym or anywhere. They could have contracted it anywhere, like at Fred Meyer or whatever. But Fred Meyer's instituting, you know, capacity thing, and that's what we should do. We should get this country back in the open and initiate, you know, maybe some different rules than what we had, but we should be doing what we're doing to our economy right now. We should be thinking smart, doing smart, and make sure we're doing the things to keep us safe, like washing our hands.
Well, these are good things, and Art, I'm going to let you go because that is an excellent point for me to go to Glenn here, but this is one of the good things that's going to come out of all of this. I think we're going to have less sickness on the road because we are conscious about things like washing your hands. But also, you know, if you're around somebody who's hacking and coughing, give them a wide berth. Let's go to Glenn. Glenn, what do you say this morning?
Am I coming through fine?
Yep,
your comments on the Gateses, especially Bill Gates and his father. His father was very well connected to the University of Washington. I'm sure you know that, correct?
Yep.
And these computer models that they're using on the behalf of the secular world, well, their models are not working. My model comes out of Leviticus 13:26. Old Testament, you went to the priest. New Testament, you go to your doctor. 7 days plus 7 days is 14. You got to be better by then. Otherwise, you got the wrong model. Does that make sense?
And it does make sense. Thanks for sharing it right out of the Bible.
No promises, no delay.
Back in a moment. Black more to come.
Love is a battle. We are trouble.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
10 minutes till the top of the hour. Look, there are, as of Saturday, there were 9 states that did not have lockdown orders, okay? There were other states that had partial stay-at-home orders, South Carolina, Utah, Wyoming, Oklahoma. A lot of these governors, whether it's Iowa, and I'll give you the list here, Arkansas, Iowa, Nebraska, North Dakota, and South Dakota have resisted any kind of a stay-at-home order. Wyoming, Utah, Oklahoma, and South Carolina have only issued part orders. All of these governors belong to which party? The Republican Party. Now, my belief here is that I have not seen, have you seen an explosion, by the way? From the time Kate Brown issued her stay-at-home order, which was March 23rd, the hospitalization rate, as we talked about yesterday in actual data, was already declining. As I have said before, 2 weeks ago on this show, the CDC flu report, weekly flu report from the CDC, showed that all across the United States, and including in Oregon, in fact, Oregon led the way in the reduction of quote-unquote reported flu cases. Now, their data is not just hospitalization. It's also reports in emergency rooms and that kind of thing. The article we talked about yesterday makes the case that it's really about hospitalizations. Because if you get the flu or you get coronavirus and you get a little bit sick and you recover, you don't go to the hospital, do you? So it's really about hospitalization, because that's where all the freak out about having ventilators and PPEs and ICU beds, that's what it's all about. Most people don't, who get coronavirus, don't get hospitalized. Now, that's a good thing, don't you think? I do. That's a reality that stares us right in the face here. The reported cases of not just flu, but again, as we talked about yesterday in yesterday's article, ProfessorHinckley.com, you can read it. The reported cases in Oregon of emergency room visits due to COVID-19 has also been dropping. And all of this has been happening since Kate, even before Kate Brown ordered us to stay at home and destroy Oregon's economy. Now, how about these other states? Wouldn't you have thought that they would see an explosion in Arkansas and Iowa, Nebraska, North Dakota, and South Dakota? It ain't happening. What does that tell you? First of all, those, at least in part, maybe not Iowa and Nebraska and Arkansas. I mean, those are fairly heavily populated states compared to Oregon. But certainly North Dakota and South Dakota are sparsely populated states, just like many of the rural areas of the states. Now, the fear is in this story about this liberty rebellion, and it's happening up in the panhandle of Idaho. And there are state representatives up there pushing back on it, as they should be. A sheriff is pushing back on it. And the doctors are going nutso up there. Why? Because if it happens in a small community, and this is a legitimate fear, I don't have a problem with it. If it happens in a small community, it overwhelms their public health care system. If you get an outbreak, like there has been in one particular place where the rich and famous go in Idaho, where would that be? Sun Valley. Or Now, okay, people are pushing back. So, if these other states are not issuing these lockdown orders, wouldn't you think that this would just be exploding in their states? Well, it isn't. In part because the computer models have been wrong. Rosalie sent me, I haven't read it yet. She says there is an op-ed in the Western Journal, and it's on Facebook, and it's called "Tyranny is the Deadliest Virus." Yeah, it is. Rich writes me an email. This points out just how unprepared local government will always be in most emergencies. It is virtually impossible to prepare for every crisis. History has proven that. Believing computer models is always dangerous. Guideline, maybe? Well, okay. What info was used is always something in question. Data in, garbage out, right? He continues, as we know from past practice, don't let a good emergency crisis go to waste. It seems to be more of a test in how far government can go and what we will put up with, which means the next time it'll be even more restrictive. Next emergency may even be hyped much more, if that's possible. The danger is not the possible problem as much as the people in the political power taking advantage of an emergency, Democrats, socialists. Maybe the next emergency will be the lack of dishonest reporting. Laugh out loud. Yeah, by the way, speaking of that, did you see Trump go after, including the Fox reporter, about they got blindsided, of course, by an inspector general's report, an Obama appointee, no political agenda there, that had faulty data in it. Now, this is an inspector general's report complaining about the lack of supplies and testing at 300 and some odd hospitals. Okay, whose response? Is it the federal government's responsibility to staff all those hospitals, to stock them with ventilators, with PPEs? Is that the federal government's responsibility? But even more importantly, while they were standing there and Trump was pushing back, the guy in charge of all of that, the admiral standing there in uniform, a few minutes later, because they kept asking the question, numerous reporters trying to trap Trump. And finally, the admiral got the data. Somebody in his office got it quickly and came up to the podium and said, you know what? This is old data from the time that we've put in place these new tests. But he also made another important point, and it gets to Rich's point here. Local government has the ability to do this stuff, or should have. These local hospitals have the ability to do these tests. Yes, the old tests were outmoded. We all learned that. It took forever to get a test result back. We've fixed that. And this Inspector General's report, which was dishonest reporting from the media, tried to trap Trump and make him look bad. I hope that out of all of this, that's one of the positive takeaways. The exposing of the far leftist news media and driving this hype. All right, folks, get out there. Make it a great day. Believe in liberty. Stand up for liberty. See you tomorrow.